I just wanted to give you a little taste of what tonight's going to be. Because tonight's going to be exciting. Tonight we get to share with the kids about Jesus Christ in wonderful and fabulous ways. And one of the things that I've been thinking about, and we talked about this in Sunday school some, if I gave you an apple, could you cut it open and tell me how many seeds were in the apple? Oh, you guys are challenged? You couldn't do that? Could you cut it open and tell me how many seeds were in the apple? If I gave you one of the seeds, could you tell me how many apples were in the seed? You know, we've got 24 or 25 kids signed up already to come to Vacation Bible School. Do we really know what's going to happen with any one of those kids in the future? Might one of those kids be someone who leads thousands to Jesus Christ? We can count that we've got 24 kids signed up now. But can we count how many people will be affected by these 24 kids and who they'll talk to the rest of their lives? We have an opportunity to affect the whole world through the kids who come tonight. Do you realize that? Do you realize that by the kids who come tonight, we have an opportunity to affect the whole world? Because we don't know where they're going to end up. We don't know who they're going to talk to. We don't know who they might lead to Jesus Christ as a result of us sharing the story with them about Jesus Christ. I just give you an opportunity to think about that. Because we got an incredible opportunity this week. Bonnie and Jan have done an awful lot to get the word out there. Tommy's going to be picking them up from three different apartment complexes. And I'm sure some of the other kids are going to get excited about that. And some of the other ones are going to come. There's some other folks that are going to dress up as mad scientists also and go out on the bus and help pick up the kids. And we're kind of wondering right now, are the kids going to be scared? And we might not end up with too many. No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to excite the kids. So I ask you, is there any way you can help tonight? Is there any way that you can help some kids come ever closer to Jesus Christ? Because you have the opportunity to do that this week. Mike, I think I might show up for work tomorrow with you, so I can learn how to wear this jacket appropriately. Do you have an extra stethoscope so I could use and go in to see people? I'm ready. Mike's not saying anything. I don't think he wants me to show up at work tomorrow with him. But I just want to ask you to think about it. And if you can't be here for one reason or another, we understand. But please be in prayer. Please be in prayer because we do have an incredible opportunity this week. If you want to come each night about 7:30 and find out what I'm doing with the costume and what some of the other people are going to be doing with their costumes, we've got a short little skit that we're going to present to the kids each night in hopes that they'll accept Jesus Christ if they haven't by the end of the week. And on Thursday night, we have a Bible to give each one of them. Each one of them is going to get a Bible to take home with them. So now let's look at our scripture for the day. Our scripture for the day comes from 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. It's a tough time in the midst of Israel. Because what's happening is, it's just after the period of judges. There are no kings yet. It's just after the period of judges. And the judges have been doing an excellent and a wonderful job. Samuel is the last judge. Samuel is the last judge. And I want you to see what happens as the people come to him. So starting in verse 4 of chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them. But warn them solemnly and let them know that the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses. And they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be your commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your male and female servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys. He will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of all your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us, and we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." You see, the people had a desire to be just like everybody else. I'm glad that doesn't happen in our society, right? Nothing in our society. Everybody tries to be an individual and go their own way, right? Not really. Even those who rebel against the ways that are, when you look at those who rebel and say, "I'm going to be my own person and I'm going to walk my own way and I'm going to do my own thing," have you ever noticed they all kind of look the same? Wow, you're going to do your own thing and go your own way, and you look just like everybody else. You see, this whole story starts out with a desire to be just like everybody else. That's where it starts. You see, the people don't have a king. They got Samuel as a judge, and really, if you pay attention to the story as I read it, you find out that God is their king. And God has always been their king. And God is the one who has been leading and guiding them. Samuel has been the judge for the time. And as Samuel is the judge of the people, judging rightly and bringing the words to the people, they decide, "No, we want to look like everybody else. We want to have a king that will rule over us. We want to know that we have a king that can lead us into battle. We want to know that we can be just like every other nation." And Samuel's heart sinks. Because first off, it means they don't want him anymore. Samuel was one of the great judges of Israel. However, somehow it didn't pass on to his kids. It didn't pass on in a way that they could be good judges, because they weren't. And they didn't follow Samuel's ways. We do the best we can raising our children. We do the best we can teaching them and instructing them and guiding them in things. We do the best that we can in hopes that they will live in the right ways. And I'm sure Samuel did the same thing. I'm sure that Samuel tried to teach his boys that. But for some reason or another, they didn't follow in those ways. And as they didn't follow, the people said, "Samuel, we don't want you anymore, and we don't want your sons. We want a king, and we want to be just like everybody else." You know, this desire still affects us today. And the media feeds and reinforces this desire. Our media feeds and reinforces this desire to be just like everybody else. I mean, just, if nothing else, watch the television commercials. What are they trying to tell you during the commercials? They're trying to tell you, if you buy this product and you use this product, everybody will love you. You'll be successful. You'll be powerful. You'll be wonderful if you wear certain clothes. If you drive a certain car, everybody will look up to you. Am I wrong? Is that not what our media is trying to teach us? And for those of you that just watch the news channels, it's trying to make you just like everybody else and believe a very certain thing about things that are happening in this world. One station leans this way and another station leans that way in reporting the news. And there really are very few people, I think, that have original thoughts about what's going on in the world. I mean, it just amazes me that they can go for 24 hours talking about one thing. And it really amazes me, about the only time I see TV is when I work out at the rec center, which, with the good weather, thank God I'm not watching TV at the rec center with the good weather. I'm outside. I'm gonna run outside. I'm not going to run inside when we got nice weather. Here's what really gets me. With those news channels, all of a sudden you see this thing coming up saying, "Breaking news." And it was something that happened 2 days ago. And I'm standing there thinking, that's not breaking news. I remember when I was growing up, breaking news means it's happening right now, at this moment, not 2 days ago. They have overused that title so much that I don't pay attention to it anymore. You see, the media is trying to help us do the same thing. We want our own desires. We want our own things. We want what we want because the media tells us that's what we need. We need to dress a certain way. We need to smell a certain way. We need to drive a certain car. We need to have our lawn look a certain way. I mean, I know there's some of you that think dandelions are the biggest weed in the world. I think dandelions are the most beautiful, incredible, transformative flowers that there are. So you can come celebrate in my dandelion patch every spring if you want, because I got one, and it's my whole yard. I'm serious. I think they're beautiful, incredible, transformative flowers. They're not weeds. We've defined them as weeds because the media has told you they are. Have you ever stopped to look at how they transform from closing up and opening up again? Just think about this. what would happen if we did the same thing? I don't think I'd call you a bunch of weeds. I'd say, look at what God did. You see, the media is trying to transform us so that we're just like everybody else. Now, here's the interesting thing. God allows us to choose what is not good for us, even when God has something better. You see, the people in this story wanted a king. We want a king. We want a king so that we can look like everybody else. And God says, I'll answer your prayers. Even though that means you're rejecting me, I'll answer your prayers. Now, what does it mean when God's willing to answer a prayer that's not good for us? Did you ever think about that? What does it mean when God's willing to answer a prayer that's not good for us? In this case, God does. In this case, God does. Because the next point is, they have been explained. God tells Samuel, explain to them all the dangers about having a king. And when we see those dangers and we still choose what we want, I think we must slow down and reflect. You see, Samuel comes to the people. He goes to God, and God says, okay, if that's what the people want, that's what I'll get them. And by the way, Samuel, it's not so much that they're rejecting you, they're rejecting me as their king. Yes, they're rejecting you as a judge, but they're rejecting me as their king. But I'll let them have another king if that's what they want. He says, but before it happens, Samuel, please go and explain to them the dangers of having a king. And does not Samuel explain that? There's going to be a draft. That's what it says. He's going to come and take your lands. He's going to come and take your daughters to be cooks and bakers. He's going to come and take the best that you grow. He's going to come and take a tenth of your flocks and your fields. Now, I want you to remember, they're already supposed to be giving a tenth to God. And now Samuel explains to them, the king's going to take another tenth. And then look at what happens. The people say, you know what? We don't care. We still want a king so that we can be like everybody else. Now, I guess you'll admit the same as I do. That's pretty sad. That is pretty sad. The people are given all the dangers, and it's a long list. I didn't go through all of it. It's a very long list. And the people have said, it's all right. We've already decided what we want. And God says, Samuel, don't worry. I know they've rejected you, but they have also rejected me by doing this. You see, when we choose a path to walk and then we are shown time and time and time again that that's not a good path to walk, if our mind is still set to walk that path, maybe we need to slow down, sit down, and reflect on what's going on. Maybe we need to slow down, sit down, and just reflect. What does it mean that I've got all this evidence that shows me this is the wrong way to walk, but I'm still deciding to do that? Have I done that in my life? Yes. Even when somebody could logically explain to me it's not good, I've still followed that way because that's what I wanted. That's what I desired. That's what I thought would complete me, even when somebody showed me that it's not going to. Is that not the path the world is on? We want to be like everybody else. We want to have what other people have. We want to be rich. We want to be famous. We want a giant house. I don't know why. It's just more house to clean. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe you haven't noticed that. I'm the one at our house that does the floors. I don't need another floor. I got enough floor already. Matter of fact, I got more floor than I want when it comes to cleaning the floors. If I could get Deanne to move into a 500-square-foot house, I probably would, but I don't think she likes me that much. She tells me that's way too small. No, look at how neat it would be. And look at how much less we'd have to do. And look at how close we'd be staring at each other all day. Can somebody help me understand what that means? You see, folks, we're trying to be like everybody else. Is that what God wants us to do? Is that what God wants us to do? Or is it what we want to do? And I'm sorry to tell you that churches are no different. Churches see other churches do things and say, look how successful that was for them. Let us do that too. Did you ever consider that God might call different churches in different directions? For different reasons, to reach different people. Did you ever consider that? Instead of having every church look like every other church, what if we got different churches because we've got different kinds of people in the world? And different people are reached different ways and see different things and spiritual things opened up for them different ways. Do we as a church have to look just like every other church? Might be a little bit more comforting when you go to another church, right? Because then you know exactly how everything runs, because it runs exactly like the other church you just went to. Might be comfortable in that way. But you see, God wanted God's people, in this case, to be different than everybody else. God didn't want them to have a king because God was already their king. They didn't need to have a king. They got one. And God as their king is the best king they could ever have. Amen? The very best king they could ever have. And yet they threw that away. And if you read the rest of Samuel, you'll find out about a king named Saul. It really wasn't that good a king. And then behind that comes a king called David. Did he have his ups and downs? And behind David comes Solomon. Did Solomon have his ups and downs? And behind Solomon comes, I'm testing you guys now, behind him comes two of Solomon's sons that fight over the throne. Rehoboam is one of them, and I'm trying to remember the other name right now. It does start with a J, but Jeroboam, thank you. Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and no, they weren't twins, okay? And that's when the kingdom divides and splits into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Do they look like every other nation now? Oh, yeah. Infighting, kinfolks that can't get along with one another, kings killing other kings. Oh, they look like every other nation now. Is that God's design for them? Never was. It never was. You see, it comes down to this. Looking to God for guidance and wisdom must be central to growing as a faith community. Looking to God for guidance and wisdom must be central as a faith community. It must be. Because God knows the big picture. And God understands what God's trying to accomplish in this big picture. And as God's trying to work on that, God knows what's happening around us. And God says, center on my guidance. Center on my wisdom. I will be your king. I will be the one. Can we do that? Can we as a people do that? Because God's calling us together as a community of believers to be just who God wants us to be. We will be unique. We will be different. Because that's who God wants us to be. We'll have a different makeup than other churches. We'll have different ways of doing things than maybe some other churches. God's calling us in a, I keep wanting to say, very unique way. And those of you that are English people know that I'm not allowed to say very unique. Okay? Because either you're unique or you're not. You can't be very unique. Okay, unique is off by itself. It's all one. And there's nothing over top of that. And God's calling us to be a unique people right here on this street corner. God's calling us to be different. And God says, I have some wisdom and insight for you. Don't look to be like everybody else. Because your pastor's not like everybody else. Do I get an amen for that one at least? I mean, you don't know what I'm going to be wearing next week, do you, John? I walked in to talk to John in Sunday school all dressed up like that, and John didn't have much to say this morning. Folks, here's what I want to leave you with this morning. Here's what I want to leave you with from this passage of Scripture. Are you willing to set aside the desire to be like every other church and truly seek what God has for us? Are you willing to set aside the desire to be like every other church and truly be who God's calling us to be? What do you think about that? I hope you'll spend some time with that thought this week. Because God's got an incredible idea for who God wants us to be. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, wow. Your scriptures are incredible. And how we can learn from them and how we can see paths that we might fail on, paths that we might go down in the wrong way. Lord, may we see your wisdom. May we see your insight. May we understand what you have and who you're calling us to be as a people. and follow that with every ounce of energy that we have so that we might affect this world in the way that you're calling us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.